Welcome once again to the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry and our Bible study for this Sunday morning. Hi, this is Mike Moody, and we're in John chapter 2 in our study in the Gospel according to John. Turn to chapter 2, if you will. We'd like to look in the will of the Lord at the first 11 verses today. It's the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Let's first look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we again count it a privilege to be able to give out the Word of God, to once again open the pages of Scripture, the living and powerful Word of God. We just pray that it might touch those that are listening, that it might encourage the believers in Christ, that it might give instruction. Father, that those that know not Christ that are listening, that they might see their need for Christ. Father, that you might convict souls and point them to the way of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in His name alone. Amen. John chapter 2, let's look at the first 11 verses. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were sent there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, Every man from the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. And we'll stop our reading at that point, but here we see in the last verse that we read, the key to this passage, I do believe, it tells us that this being the first miracle during the ministry, the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this first miracle, here it states, verse 11, that He manifested forth His glory. If we were to back up into John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, And the Word, that's the title of our Savior, and the Word was became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. And the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see there that speaks of His glory, that we beheld His glory, John the Apostle said. He became flesh, this one from glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was made flesh, manifested. And here it says He manifested forth His glory through these miracles. Now today we know we have the completed Word of God. We see that in the time when John was being carried out, being recorded years later, of course the Word of God was not complete. There was the Old Testament, but yet here was Christ before His death upon the cross. They were still looking toward the cross. The Word of God was incomplete. Yet now we in the church age are looking back to the cross, the completed work of Christ, the cross work where He went to that cross, dying on the cross for the sin of the world. And He said, It is finished. And He gave up the Spirit. And we said, we run to the Scriptures where it tells us then, as He stated, It is finished. And He gave up the ghost, that He went back after His resurrection and after He was seen of above 500 brethren, seen of the disciples, seen of those women that followed him. He went back to glory. But here, he's manifesting forth his glory through these miracles. Now, we see here an interesting thing that this points out where he sanctioned marriage by the fact that he accepted the invitation. He went to the marriage feast. We see that the very one here that accepted the marriage invitation, as far as going to this celebration, this feast, the marriage supper, is the self same one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The creator of heaven and earth is the one that is here, and he sanctions this marriage by accepting that invitation. We know the word of God tells us that the bed is undefiled, marriage is honorable, the scripture tells us, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. So we see that God sanctions marriage, God established marriage, he initiated marriage, he established and ordained marriage. You turn back to Genesis chapter 2, it tells us there with the original man and woman, Adam and Eve, that God said that man should leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. So there we see the sanction upon the union of marriage. Now as well, the one that created all things, created the heaven and the earth, created in 6 days, and then because of completeness, he rested the seventh, not out of being tired, but out of completeness, a picture of completeness. He created the world, the animals, the people, all that's recorded there in chapter 1 of Genesis, in 6 days, man, and he also created woman out of the rib of Adam. Yet here in John chapter 2, the creator of all performs this miracle, turning the water into wine. Would not that seem rather simple to the very one who created the entire world, created you and created me, for him to simply turn water into wine, something that naturally would take days or weeks to turn, to ferment, to turn from water to wine. But here, the very creator of all, how simple it must be, we must realize that this was not something that is so beyond our understanding when we realize in this sense that it was the creator of all creation that was standing here doing this very first miracle. And yet, when we see this, we see that his mother wanted to tell him that they needed wine. And his reaction was this: "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." Now, when we read this, let us keep in mind that back in Genesis 2 as well, the very self-same one, the Lord himself, was the one that said, "This is man, out of man I will create woman." So this is the name that God gave the female. So let's not take it in as a derogatory term. We know in our society it's used sometimes in an unrespectful manner. So let's read it in such manner as this. Jesus said unto her, such as, "Dear lady." It wasn't something derogatory. He was speaking respectfully to his mother. But we need to emphasize what he was wanting to tell her. He said, "Mine hour is not yet come." What is important about this? We see that he was speaking of the coming hour, his appointed time upon that cross. Let's turn to a few passages in the book of John here and just see the significance of this statement, mine hour has not yet come. If you were to turn to John chapter 7 and read in verse 30, as we see in chapters 5 to 12, where the unbelieving Jews were trying to destroy Jesus. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to see him die. They rejected him. They sought to kill him. We see these things time and time again from John chapter 5 to John 12. And here in the middle of that, in chapter 7, verse 30, tells us again, it said, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Move on to chapter 8 and verse 20. Also, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And then, as we move on past chapter 5 to 11, on into chapter 12, and when we get there, we see in verse 23, it says there, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So we could then continue to read, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, when we move on to chapter 13 in verse 1, he continues this thought. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto his Father. And then finally in John chapter 17, unto the disciples he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Did you notice the transition? Chapters 5 to 11, he said that no one laid hands upon him because his hour had not yet come. But when he got close to the cross and was speaking to those that followed him, from chapters 12 on through 17, he said, mine hour has come. His hour was that hour upon the cross, and yet we know he was there longer than a literal hour. But that was speaking of his duty, his responsibility, his focus for being here. That was his hour. And we know that there was actually 3 hours of darkness. We see before that there was some 3 hours when men was tormenting him upon that cross, and all the cruel things of men, mocking him, spitting upon him. Yet then the 3 hours of darkness, when the world was covered in darkness. And at this point we see that the Father in heaven turned his back upon the Son, for the Son had the sin of the world laid upon him. And the Father would not look upon sin. The only time in eternity that the Father and the Son had their communion broken. We see where he turned away from the sin that was upon his Son. So we see there that his hour had come. My friend, have you entered into this? That Christ came to bear your sin upon that cross. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet, back in John chapter 2, when he told his mother, mine hour is not yet come. Yet then she said immediately, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. So she knew that he was the one that was in control. And as we go on through, we see the wonderful miracle. As our time is drawing short now, briefly we would say this, after this miracle was brought forth, it was the beginning of miracles, and as we mention in verse 11, that this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested for his glory. And his disciples believed on him, and we would also like to mention this great application, that we could say to the believers listening today, that we are these mere vessels that the water was turned into wine in. We are mere vessels. The Lord uses us for His service. We are just as those vessels. And to the person out there listening that knows not Christ, we would say this application comes from chapter 2, that when He turns water to wine is a picture of how when you are saved by Christ, when you receive Him, repent and accept the fact that you're a sinner and confess it to Him and turn. Turning from water to wine is a great picture of how He makes us new creatures in Him. This is Mike Moody from Jeff Buckles and the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us next week from 10:15 to 10:30 Sunday morning. Thank you.